Food, film, and music. Some of our greatest loves in life. Welcome to Seems to Me with your co-hosts, Sibeline Sariano and Steve Ricardo.
Hey, hey.
You were lip syncing yourself during the intro.
That was good.
You were doing, what are you, like a TikTok star or something?
Oh, gosh, who knows? God help me if I ever end up on TikTok, please.
I think you need your own TikTok.
I think I'm learning more about this TikTok world. I guess it is kind of the thing to do. Huh?
It's doing a lot for a lot of people where it's like breaking musical artists and making more people famous and influencers.
Even my daughter knows these things. I know. Like you were saying that
Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, that chick.
I talk about her a lot with everyone now. People are like, why is he so obsessed with an 18-year-old singer? I think she's a good songwriter. She writes her own songs.
She is, and she happens to be beautiful, and, you know, good for her. Like, holy cow, to get noticed from a TikTok video, boom.
You know what's amazing now is there's more upcoming young women rock stars than men. Women are taking over.
As they should.
I'm all for it.
Isn't life with women better?
Oh, yeah.
I knew I could say that to you.
Hey, your nail polish is not yellow today. It's orange.
It's like fiery orange with a little bit of sparkle.
Where do you get that?
I love that you just asked me that because I love this new nail salon that I found. It's called Nicole's, and they are in Danvers, and they are just the happiest.
Danvers, Massachusetts. Route 1.
No. Danvers Center, kid. Danvers Center. All right, it's right next to Brothers. That's the best I can do. The Brothers.
Okay. I like the Brothers in Wakefield, but we've already clarified.
So
that.
Listen, I love these people because Lee, who's the owner, and Vicky, who does my nails, they're just the happiest, loveliest people. And, you know, I've gone to a lot of nail salons, and sometimes you walk in there and they're like, pick color. Tell me, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like they don't engage you. They don't talk to you. It's just like business. And nobody has a smile on their face. And that is the complete opposite at Nicole's Nails in Danvers. I really
like
enjoy.
Nicole.
Is there
actually a Nicole?
I believe there is a Nicole who passed away. And I didn't ask, but I noticed that there was a RIP little card to
her. Does she do your toes too?
Of course. Wow. My toes are white. I went with summer white and fiery orange.
Well, that orange is I'm just curious, what does it cost when you go and get your nails done?
This is actually a powder, and then sometimes they have to put tips on my nails because the nails are getting weak underneath this. But this lasts, and it doesn't chip, and it doesn't break, and it's amazing.
Really?
So the manicure pedicure is $70.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Wow. Those places do really well.
$70. But wow. I was there for 2 hours. I mean, that was $70. Well, you know. And I get to like sit in the chair. She does like my feet first, then that lets them dry. Then
what
we
do
my
like
hands.
Massages your feet or?
Well, yeah, they always give you a massage. They do your cuticles. They give you a good deep massage on your legs and feet and then also hands and arms. And then you're in a massage chair while you're getting a pedicure. So there's actually like, you know, those, you know, chairs that like massage your back. So it's like literally my self-care time. I really enjoy it. And I think that all people should get manicure and pedicures because it's just like taking a bath, Steve. You get to just like decompress and, you know
how I feel about baths.
I know. I took
me
one
and
yesterday.
Tom Ford.
Mm-hmm. You inspired me to take one yesterday.
Inspired you to take a bath? Yeah, but when you're up to 3 a day like Tom Ford, then we can talk about baths. I'm only doing one a day myself.
I mean, I'm not even at one a day. I'm like one a month. But, you know, it was really nice to take a bath. And I had my phone in there, and my daughter came in to ask if she could use my phone. She goes, Mommy, you shouldn't have the phone in the bath. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Well, anyway.
Josie knows.
Yeah.
So what did you do? What have you been doing?
We haven't seen each other in person, us people here at the Seems to Me podcast. We haven't seen each other real live and in person in quite
break.
A while.
Well, we got 10 shows out now, so we need people
to catch up. Yeah, man, we're on episode 11. Yeah. 11,
people
1-1.
People just need to catch up.
Yeah, man.
Listen to all of them. We've got a lot of listeners, but we need a lot more.
Awesome. I love to hear that we have a lot of listeners. That's cool. And we have listeners coming from all across the world, right?
Yeah, everywhere, basically.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love it.
I don't have the stats today. I wish you didn't ask me that when I don't have the stats.
Right.
But we do have a wide range of people.
You told me like UK and France and other places like that.
It's all about the hashtag.
Hashtag, man. Hashtag.
It's all about the hashtag.
And Steve brought me my my dirty chai today, and he goes, I'm sorry they didn't have almond milk. They don't even have soy milk. They just have oat. And I'm like, hey, well, you know, that's what they say. Like, oat is oat right now, right? Like, oat couture, get it? Oat. But it's the hot, happening thing.
I've been eating a lot of oat ice cream.
Oh.
It's good. You know, it works with the gluten-free
diet. I don't know
why
it's this whole, like, big thing. Like, why is oat all of a sudden the, like, thing to do?
That's a good question. I wish
gotta,
I had the answer
we'll
for that.
We'll have to research that because I have no idea. Like,
but the oat ice cream's good. It's like, I like coconut-flavored ice cream and oat ice cream.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're on a gluten-free diet, you got to, like, you know.
Yeah, of course. Almond ice cream will be good for you.
You know what I noticed? They're very high in saturated fat, but it's the kind of fat you need to eat.
Right. Yeah, there's like, something important about oat right now that I don't know. What's I got
to
figure
we'll have
it
to
out.
Have, we'll have to talk about that next week.
Circle back to that.
Oat.
So, guess what? I just had my fourth. We're going into my fourth month in the gallery, Sibylline the Art Gallery in SOA. And we had our fourth First Friday. And you know what, Steve? It was magical, amazing, vibrant, so much fun. My friend Mark Femino came and played. I just love listening to the way he plays the guitar. He brought his mandolin, he brought his ukulele, so he played all three at different times.
Nice.
We had such a great turnout. Like, I was kind of being pessimistic with this whole, like, long weekend of 4th of July, and to be honest with you, it didn't hold anybody back, and I had repeat people that have been coming in, and, you know, people I didn't know that have come back because they I would say at least 5 to 6 people told me personally, as well as my other staff, how inviting the gallery feels and how warm and happy and friendly, and that we're always smiling and that the music pulls them in and that we have the wine and the cheese. And, you know, people are like, I'm coming back because this is an experience I want to have every month.
Well, check this out. I could make it this time. I apologize for that, but I did send people and
you
they
did.
Showed up. Mm-hmm. And my friend Heather from Colorado told me that they went through the whole gallery until they got to your place, and they said nobody was friendly to them. It was like just people were boring, and then all of a sudden they heard something and they're like, that's got to be where we need to be. And guess what? They get to your room and everyone's partying and having fun. And so I think some of those people need to lighten up.
But listen,
there.
This is the world of art galleries. This is what people do at art galleries. It's very sterile and cold and uninviting.
Like that.
And that's my MO here is I want to break the mold. I always have tried to break the mold in whatever I do.
Yeah.
Right? But like I didn't realize how easy it was going to be to break the mold. Like it's not rocket science, people. I mean, be friendly. Have vibrant art.
You don't have to be
have
stuck up
music.
Just because you're into art. I'm an artist. Am
exactly.
I stuck up? No. People are like that. I don't get that vibe.
Which is odd because we don't have a competition down there. Like, everybody's very friendly with each other, all of us gallery owners. But to hear this was a very huge, big thing that happened coming out of our First Friday on July 2nd was like, holy cow, I love the energy in your gallery. I want to be here. People were leaving and coming back. I saw this one gentleman come in 4 times. He just was like, and he brought his sister and his sister's husband and their two-year-old, and they just stayed like all night, and we had such great conversation. He was an artist and a photographer as well. I had another conversation with a guy who has, I've seen him every time, but because people had masks on, like I didn't know faces, right? And so this time I had another woman who is an artist, and she was just like, this is so cool. We had another woman come in who was from another gallery, and she's like, this is what should be happening. This interactive painting that you guys are doing. This is what I've been trying to get my gallery.
Did you come up
with that idea? I did.
Well, that's a brilliant idea. And Kelly's a good person to be in charge of.
Yeah, yeah. She's been doing a great job. And we have
Kelly Bishop.
Yep.
She's a great artist.
She is a great artist.
People listening, look her up, man.
Well, she will be featured very soon in my gallery.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about that after our episode today.
That's a great move on your part. So what else did you do on this long? Well, it's still going on, I guess, but we're working. It was great coming into town today, by the way.
There was probably no traffic, right?
I went to the Charles Hotel to say goodbye to my friends that were visiting. They're leaving this morning, Charles Hotel in Cambridge, which I recommended.
Yeah.
And I never was in the rooms until today, and I was blown away. Their view of Boston was spectacular.
I've never been inside a room either.
What a great hotel.
My neighbor was one of the big directors there, actually, and I believe he just got laid off or something. But yeah, I mean, I love Henrietta's Kitchen.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a good place.
What a great restaurant.
It was funny when not one of my favorite people, but I'll mention him, little Steven Van Zandt was up here producing The Charms. He stayed there and we went there. We were gonna go eat in that room, but we didn't. We went to Leo's Diner instead, which was cool because when we got to Leo's Diner, Peter Wolf was there.
No,
those two saw each other. It was like, you, Steve is like, you set this up, you know? And I'm like, I didn't set this up.
I've bumped into Peter Wolf in
Boston. He's all over Cambridge.
Yeah, I've definitely seen
him. For people that don't know who Peter Wolf is, he's the singer of the Jay Giles Band,
mm-hmm.
and he was a DJ at WBCN before he was in Jay Giles.
Such a great voice. Love that.
But it was great coming into town and not dealing with all the mass holes on the Mass Pike, you know?
Mass
it really
holes.
Was. It was, like, refreshing.
Oh, yeah. I know. Actually, you're right. There was no traffic. Really.
No traffic.
Awesome. Well, this past week, because my weekends are now Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, roughly.
Did you go to the Cape?
I did. I went down to the Cape. I brought my daughter. We met up with our friend Dee Dee that lives down there. And we stayed.
Does she have kids too?
She does, but her child is adult. She's in her mid-50s. And she's just a friend of mine that I met at a job a few years ago. And we became fast friends. And she's actually the one who introduced me to affirmations, as a matter of fact. And so we actually stayed at this lovely place called Pleasant Bay Villas and Resort.
What town?
Chatham.
Where is Chatham on the Cape?
It's right pretty much the elbow. So like P-Town's all the way at the top.
I
at
love
the fist.
P-Town.
And then you've got like Toro and Wellfleet and all those guys. And then Chatham's kind of the elbow. And then you've got like, you know, Chatham's right next to.
I wish people could see the way you're just.
I got my arm up like a Rosie Revere. Yeah.
So is that near Dennisport and Hyannis?
Because
I'm not much of a Cape person. I like Martha's Vineyard and I like P-Town, but I kind of skip everything
in between. Harwichport, Dennisport. But it's where all the sharks are, basically. It's like where they see great whites all the time. And
that would be cool.
Yeah, it was. We actually went to a shark museum down there. And it was, you know, obviously it was the 3 days here that were like bloody hot, like 100 degrees something. And so it was
we had horrible weather here.
It was brutal,
and
right?
And then it was like 50.
Right.
Oh, man.
We just got robbed of another holiday weekend. Remember, Memorial Day weekend was the same thing.
You know, I'm telling you, man, this has a lot to do with climate change. I don't care whether people believe it or not.
Of course it does.
I mean, to see 100 degrees one day and 50 2 days later, it makes no sense in July whatsoever.
I know.
It was bizarre.
I know. It was really crazy.
Did you eat at any good restaurants down there?
So, yeah. Actually, I wanted to mention a couple places. So, first of all, my oasis, my personal happy place, is a place called Chatham Bars Inn. And it is magical. Like back in the day, I wanted to get married there. Maybe if I meet my, you know, Silver Fox millionaire, I'll get married there for my second wedding.
Silver Fox millionaire.
Yes, universe. I am manifesting my Silver Fox millionaire. Please. Okay, thank
you. He's out there.
I mean, he doesn't have to be a Silver Fox. No, I think I want a man.
Okay.
Remember? we had this conversation
we did,
already.
But, you know, I want to keep reminding you that you're better off with a woman than a
man. I would appreciate a wife, I got to say.
Me so, too, actually. But I keep chickening out on my Bumble account.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So Chatham Bar's Inn, it is magical. It has this little beachfront restaurant with a little gazebo that is a bar, and you can go to the beach there. They have wonderful chairs. The best kept secret that I should probably not share on this show because it's my secret, I have been going to the Chatham Bar's Inn for probably 20 years now, and we will stay there. We'll stay somewhere else in Chatham, but we will go to Chatham Bar's Inn for the day. And they have a pool, and they have a hot tub, and they have showers, and they have this lovely restaurant. So, like, you go, you make a reservation, or you just, well, they don't take reservations. You just go, you get there around lunchtime, you order some food, you can either eat outside or eat on the beach. They weren't open on the beach yet, but you eat, and then, like, they don't even ask you if you're staying there when you walk into the pool. So then I have a kid, and there's, like, built-in babysitters because there's 100 kids there, right? Because it's a family resort. Steve, this place is $900 a night.
What?
Oh, yeah.
$900 a night? Yep.
I met this couple our last day. Like, we went back there our third day just to kind of... You know, Josie loved swimming in their pool because it's like, you know, bath water. And actually, I wanted to go to the beach because we hadn't really actually sat on the beach. And so I was like, kiddo, I want to go sit on the beach. I've been trying to teach my daughter volleyball.
Oh, so, she's tall, right?
Yeah, she's tall. And I'm that was my sport back in the day. So, like, if my kid can take to the volleyball, I will be very happy. So she could
she's
be a middle.
She's going D1. Syracuse.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Syracuse University Orange woman.
Oh, I don't know. She doesn't have to go to Syracuse. I'm okay with that. It's too fucking cold there.
Okay. Well, that's good. I know. Let's send her to UCLA then.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. That's what we're talking. SD. I want her to go to SD so I can retire there.
San Diego State University probably has a great women's volleyball team.
USD or something, anywhere. Anywhere in San Diego, I'll be happy. Except my kid is like the color of paper, you know, so. So Chatham Bar's Inn had great food. I got fish tacos. I got this burrata salad that had shrimp on it. Oh, man. I went pescatarian for the last week, and it's actually made me feel really good. And then we went to a place called Max, and I ended up getting fried clams because I just couldn't resist. I know,
love
right?
Fried clams.
Do you remember eating clams and liking it?
Yeah, like.
Do you still eat them?
I had a few the other day. I'm gonna talk about where I went.
Okay, when you're done.
Because there's nothing better as far as seafood goes than fried clams.
I would agree.
Steamers would be second for
me. So that's what I also got.
Yeah.
I got this dish that was like steamers that was in it had leeks and fennel and butter and it was kind of like a Portuguese kind of flavor, I think.
Nice.
And it was all just steamers, cherry stone, and that was hands down my best dish. Like the fried clams weren't crunchy enough. I actually had to send them back.
Really?
Yeah, it was $20. I was like, you know what?
I'm always afraid to send food back to the
kitchen
and get it replaced.
I have a new motto for you. I have a new motto for you, Steve. You are too old to drink or eat something that you are not enjoying. And your money is too precious.
Well, I just worry about what goes on in the kitchen when someone sends
food even,
back.
No, that's just your anxiety talking. No.
Okay.
No, they don't spit or rub their ass on your food. Maybe some places do, but, you know, I mean, you've seen those horrible YouTube videos where somebody's, like, pissing on somebody's food. It's generally not happening.
I don't think you convinced me after that. I think you pushed me more in the direction I was already going.
No, listen, if I get a drink, if I get a margarita that's not to my liking, I send it back. Your bartender and your server would rather make you happy than the opposite, at least at a good place, right? So that those are my two like big shout outs. Max Seafood in Chatham, as well as the Chatham Bars Inn, my favorite place. It's like my little oasis. Where did you go and what did you
eat? Well, you're going to really love this. I already told you, but act like you're surprised.
Okay.
I took my friends after we hung around in Newburyport. We were walking around. It was so hot.
I said, you know what?
Let's go to Rockport because it's right on the tip and it's breezy.
Yeah.
And it'll be nicer. And I was right. And I also wanted to go to Wicked Peacock and Strut.
Oh.
So I went to those two places, but our friend Sylvana was not there. I missed her at both places. But when we went into Strut, the young lady there, I didn't get her name, but she was awesome. I asked her, I said, where would you recommend for seafood? And she's like, definitely the Fish Shack. It's called Roy Moore's Fish Shack Restaurant, 21 Dock Square, Rockport, right next door to Strut.
Basically next door.
And I had fish and chips, and they were fabulous. Haddock, you know. Mm-hmm. But those guys had fish tacos and chowder and calamari, and they loved it. They were like, the food there was amazing. There was a line to get in. It was a line to get in, and that's how good
it was. When it comes to fried seafood, and correct me if you feel like I ended up having to send, like I said, send my clams back because they weren't crispy enough. They were soggy. And I'm sorry, when you get fried
food. Yeah, I agree with that. They need to be really,
really crispy. Like I don't eat fried food. So when I do, I want it to be the satiating thing that I'm looking for, right?
Satiating. Well, this food,
I'm all about gastronomic
experiences. I'm not eating a lot these days, you know, but I really enjoyed it. And I knew we were also going out that night where we went to Bob Lobster on Plum Island, which is just my friends Ellie and Joe from the Charms. You know, Ellie and Joe. We went out with them and their kids, Preston and Josie and Heather and Nina and myself. And I remembered Bob Lobster, and I told Ellie, I said, we got to go to Bob Lobster. We went there. They had a lobster roll there that was $55.
What?
I never saw something more expensive.
Was it a two-pound goddamn lobster
roll? Yeah, it was just
the
hugest thing ever, but it was $55. The regular lobster roll was $28. But I did cheat that night. And I did eat some of the fried clams that were on the table, and they have the best fried clams.
So why do you say that's cheating for you? Because it's rolled in flour?
Yeah, because it's, you know,
did
I'm just trying
mess
to.
You up?
Yeah, I got to be careful what I eat these days. But Bob Lobster, boblobster.com, it's considered Newbury, Mass. I never knew that, but it's on Plum Island. Those guys, though, had these chili lobster rolls that they had on special that were. They were just drooling over it.
What does that mean? Chili?
It was
like a
sweet chili lobster roll.
Like, but I mean like chili, meat chili or like chili
No, chili sauce.
Chili sauce.
Yeah,
okay.
Chili sauce. Sorry, I should have been more specific.
Yeah, chili sauce.
I once again had haddock. I had haddock twice in one day, but I could eat haddock twice every day.
But let me ask you. So, for example, at Max, which is why I was so excited when I saw it, they prepare all their food gluten-free. Which means they either fry everything in corn flour or they fry some, you know.
I didn't
like,
ask. I probably should have.
Well, I will tell you. I mean, you know that if you even had fish and chips, like that's cheating, right? Like because it's rolled in flour.
They didn't bother me though.
Okay,
you know?
Good. Okay, there you
go. It was all good. I mean, these places are like high end.
A lot of places are now doing that. They're rolling things in stuff that isn't just wheat flour, right? So like. I mean, any restaurant should be doing that to get with the sign of the times because a lot of us are dealing with gluten-free.
You know, here's the thing that people from other parts of the country have to understand. We're not lying when we say we have the best seafood around. I mean, you can't beat what you get in New England. And the further north you go, the better it gets, you know?
Maine,
I mean, if you're on Route 1 and you're driving up from, like, Newburyport all the way up to Portland, you're going to hit these little shacks along the way. These little
they get stuff right out of the
shacks
ocean. You know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
They're all great. Heather and Nina told me they had seafood every single day for 10 days.
Good for them.
They did. And
they came
like,
here for 10 days, huh?
Yeah. Plus, wow. You can't get good seafood in places like Denver, Colorado. You can get other good things out there, but
right.
You can't get seafood.
They're landlocked, right?
Not like this. Yeah. Right. So if you're coming to New England on vacation, you don't have to worry about looking around too much. You're going to find good places. But right. The little divey places, like Bob Lobster, is not a fancy place. You go in there, there's a few tables inside, and there's a bunch of picnic tables mm-hmm. outside, yeah. and you just go sit. That's you get your food, you bring it out to a picnic table right
exactly
on the ocean.
That's exactly what Max is, yeah.
And that's where you eat, right out yeah. there next to the water.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Perfect. I will say Max isn't on the water. But yeah, no, I hear you. We went to another place. I will spare them the bad review, but it was horrible. My lobster roll was warm rather than, I mean, it was like lukewarm, meaning it was supposed to be cold and it wasn't cold. The coleslaw was not good. The service, it was all like everything we asked. Yeah, this was in Chatham. If I could remember the name, I'd actually blast them right now, but I can't even remember the name because I will. Oh, Brax, B-R-A-X. Don't go to Brax.
People now.
The service, like when you walk into a place, like we were trying to.
They deserve it.
We were trying to get the bartender's attention, and she goes, I see you.
Fuck them.
Oh, she was such a...
I mean, people have to understand that you got to give good service, otherwise people will recognize
that. I will never
that.
Go back there. I mean, everything we asked them, the first answer was no. Like, I had a kid. She was starving. We had to wait like almost an hour for the table. I knew the second we walked in there where we were wasting our time. And we ended up having a beautiful table out on the water, like out on this little like harbor, you know, sound, whatever. But I'll tell you what, the food, the service, the vibe, the pits. Never go back.
That's too bad. Never after I just bragged about all the great seafood places.
No, well, no.
Well, the Cape's
I mean,
a little different than Route 1 and driving up
exactly.
on the coastline,
I mean,
you know?
This restaurant, it was like they didn't give a shit who was coming to eat in there. Like,
that's too
bad,
bad
customer
that
service.
Places like
but
that
I'm gonna turn this around and tell you about a wonderful restaurant that I also recently experienced called Barcelona
we
in the South
We should have called
End.
This episode the food special episode.
Right. Well, hey, we love
we
eating.
We can call
so
it the food special.
We're gonna
episode.
Segue in a moment to some fun.
I just realized you brought your. I always have my laptop with me, and I didn't bring it today. And you brought yours, and I didn't bring mine. How did that happen?
Well, you always have yours, and you seem uber prepared. So
I'm
uber prepared.
Chrome laptop that you have?
I mean, this is a couple years old.
I like it. It's small.
Oh, it's the
lightest.
I'm
hooked on
Macs,
but maybe I should.
No,
look
this is
into
a Chromebook.
That.
It's actually like cost. It was like about $199.
What?
Yeah.
And you've got internet on it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can get Wi-Fi.
And is that cheap?
Yeah.
Why do I pay $1,000 for MacBooks?
I don't know why people do that with the iPhones and the MacBooks. I am not an Apple product gal, and I will never be. I am Android and Samsung
all
the way.
I'm going to blame
LEV
for getting me hooked on Macs.
Yeah, well,
you know,
they're overpriced
iPhones.
And under-deliver as far as I'm concerned. So I went to this lovely, wonderful restaurant called Barcelona in the South End. They have two locations. They have their bar.
Let me guess. It's a Spanish restaurant.
Of course it is. It is a Spanish tapas restaurant. And it's at 525 Tremont Street.
That's not too far from where you are.
Yeah, we walked over there. And then they have one in Brookline, 1700 Beacon Street in Brookline. I haven't been to that one yet. But I'll tell you, we walked in there. They were like, we sat at the bar and the service was outstanding. Everybody had a smile. The music was great. The energy was
great. Did you have sangria?
I had a Paloma, actually.
Paloma.
With some really lovely tequila. It was a tequila night
for
me.
You love tequila.
It was a tequila. If I'm going to go out and drink, I'm going to have tequila. Why am I going to waste my, you know,
I whenever I went to Dolly, is that the name of the place in
yes.
Somerville?
Yep.
Their sangria is just phenomenal. I love sangria.
Yeah.
Because they throw all the fruit in there too, you know?
Yes, absolutely. No, I mean, sangria, a good sangria, you know, it's technically like a dry red wine that they mix sugar into
right.
and then brandy.
And then
and
a
then
lot
all the
of
fruit.
Like fruit,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not hard to make your own sangria. I could, you know, when you,
I'm
if you
sure
ever
you
drink
could.
Again.
I'm sure you could make some really good sangria. I don't doubt that for a minute.
Oh, actually, yesterday I got in this, because the weather was so garbage, I got in this in the mood to cook, which hasn't happened in a dog's age for me. And I made beef stew. I made my own homemade chicken wings. And I made some roasted potatoes and garlic. And my daughter was like, Mommy, this beef stew is the best beef stew in the world. You should open up a restaurant.
Wait a second. I saw the video on Instagram
yes,
of your daughter and your friend eating that beef stew. And your daughter was like,
she was gobbling
funny.
It. She is funny.
She's very funny.
She's
funny. She said, Mom, you putting this on your blog?
Yeah. She goes, we're going to be famous. We're on my mommy's vlog.
Vlog, not
vlog. Not even vlog. Vlog. Yeah. She's
your daughter
funny.
Seems like a riot. I can't wait to meet her.
She is a riot. I would love for
we
you to meet
her. We should have her for a guest on the show.
She
sometime.
Wants to be. Are you kidding me? Who knows where that will go? But let me just circle back to Barcelona, because we ended up getting a whole roasted branzino fish. Oh my God, it was divine. They come with like the head on, everything. We ended up getting the chorizo. We ended up getting potatoes bravas because that actually came with the fish. We also got, where is it here? I'm looking at their menu. We got shrimp with the heads on. I mean, it was just like a seafood, like smorgasbord. It was amazing.
Spanish-style seafood. Wow.
Oh, we got the grilled octopus. If I go back there, I'm going to get 10 dishes of the grilled octopus.
Like, I think you're making our engineer, Mike Nash, hungry.
He's nodding. He's like, yep, yep. He goes to the one in Brookline. And,
oh, he knows Barcelona.
He met somebody who knew the owner. We're gonna dig deep a little bit on this, because I'll tell you guys, I am bringing everybody I know to Barcelona from here on out. It gives...
My
yes,
hand's raised.
Yep,
I'm
Steve's,
going.
All right. We're going to have like a team meeting at Barcelona.
In Brooklyn.
I will say, listen, I love Toro, but Barcelona gives Toro a run for their money. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It
we'll
wasn't cheap, though.
You know, we should make two trips to Brookline, because there's some place that I want to take you to in Brookline. Stoked.
Oh.
Pizza.
Oh.
Really good.
Gluten-free?
Scott Riebling, who was the bass player in Letters to Cleo, he actually produced a couple of records with LEV and the Charms and stuff. He opened a pizza place called Stoked, and it is phenomenal. They have a truck that they park at Harvard, too, and he opened a new location in Cambridge on Mass Ave. But the one in Brookline is fantastic. That's
yeah,
a whole nother
okay.
kind of food, but it just you made me think of it.
We
Brookline has a lot of good restaurants.
Yeah, I don't – it's so far for me to get to Brookline. It just feels
can't
like
can't find a parking
Jibbit.
Place there or anything, though. Brookline's a real hassle of a neighborhood.
You said it, not me.
Yeah. If it was – you know, it'd be, you know, I'd rather just take a subway if I was going to go to Brookline.
I mean – it feels like East Jibbit to
plus
me
the
to get
cops
over there.
There are like, it's a weird town, you know. The people think they own everything. The cops are weird. There's no parking, but it's Brookline.
It's Brookline.
And would you live
hoity,
there,
hoity.
Steve, if you found a cheap apartment? Yeah, I would live there if I found a cheap apartment.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything cheap in Brookline. you know, I wanted to just quickly mention, first of all, I love the name Cleo. Like, I just wrote that down because, like, I just
when
love
I said
the
Letters
Cleo.
To Cleo.
Yeah. Why do I need to know more about Letters to Cleo.
They had the theme song on Melrose Place for years. Remember the show Melrose Place?
Do I remember the show Melrose Place? Yes.
Because
it
Hanley,
came right after 90210, and we were all huge fans of 90210.
Kay Hanley was also Josie in the Pussycats, the movie, and she was a background singer for Miley Cyrus. Before Miley Cyrus was Miley Cyrus, she was... Who was she before Miley Cyrus? She had a TV show under a different name.
Oh.
I can't believe I can't remember that.
Hannah Montana.
Oh, right.
Hannah Montana. And Kay
Mike,
Hanley.
Ding, 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 ding. He
Thank
gets
you, Mike,
the,
for coming on the show.
The quiz prize money for that one. I would have never come up with that.
Well, she was famous before she was Miley Cyrus, basically, because she was Hannah Montana, you know, which
whatever
kids
that
loved.
Means. Yeah, I know.
But Kay Hanley from Letters to Cleo was involved in, you
okay,
know.
We just went down like a little rat hole. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It was like bing, bing,
from
bing, 7 degrees separations.
From Letters to Cleo
like...
to whatever you're going to say right now.
Well, mine doesn't have anything to do with that, actually. But I was just saying Cleo. I just love the name Cleo. And I just met a little girl, who 2-year-old, named Clea. Clea was her name. Isn't that a cool name?
I like Chloe better than Cleo.
Well, Chloe. So Chloe was always one. Like, Josie was either going to be a Chloe or a Josie, but ooh, my ex-husband didn't like Chloe. My first friend in New York City, when I was at a Lycée Français in New York City before we moved to Delaware, my best friend was Chloe, and it was a C-H-L-O-E.
I don't know a lot of Chloes, but I like that name.
I just love the name. But then, like, you got Khloe Kardashian, which kind of ruined it for everybody.
She's a K, though. I like the
C-H Khloe
better.
She is a K. C for all day long. I will say, Khloe Kardashian is my favorite of the Kardashians, if I had to go there. But
wait a minute, which one is that? Is she the real tall one?
She's the one who's always been, like, the biggest of them, but I think she's the most beautiful of them.
You mean the tallest one is Khloe?
She's the tallest.
Tristan Thompson's girlfriend?
Yeah.
From the Boston Celtics. I'm not
the
a
one
huge...
that knocked her up with a baby and then left her. Yeah.
They're together again, right? Though. I don't like the. I'm not a Kardashian fan. I think they're everything that's wrong with reality TV, if you
the
ask me.
The fact that Kylie. No, not Kylie. I actually like Kylie. She's the other one that I like. But the other one, the
one that made the
one,
sex tape that got her famous.
Well, that is. That's the.
Kim.
Whatever. Yeah. No, the other one, the littlest one.
Sorry, I'm always hijacking your direction and changing
Kylie.
It. I apologize Kylie. For that.
Kenner, whatever. Anyway, who cares about the fucking Kardashians? All right, so the other thing I was going to say is Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum. I had a dear friend of mine come in from Fargo. God bless her. She's living in Fargo. Can
North
you imagine?
Dakota?
Yeah.
Wow.
She is like swore she would never live in Fargo. Her husband's from Fargo, and they ended up there because he's a pilot, but she was going to Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum, and I'm like, well, I want to come with you, and so we ended up going there, and I have to say, Steve, like, I haven't been to a museum in at least a year because of COVID, and Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum is my favorite of the Boston museums.
Considered one of the best museums in the world, pretty much.
Hands.
Right?
I mean, yeah. I forgot how many absolute masterpieces are in there. I mean, there's a Botticelli, there's Sargent, there is St. George and the Dragon, which made my skin just, it melted. I was like, I couldn't believe I was looking at this painting. And like, I walked out with a great love of a gentleman by the name of Zorn. There was also a Degas in there. There was a Monet.
Alvin Long probably knows every one of these. Was there any Francis Bacon or Van Gogh? Because those are the two I'm
no.
like.
No. No, but Isabel Stewart Gardner was a great collector of art. She, I believe, inherited this money and then basically created the Isabel Stewart Gardner, which is made to look like an Italian piazza. Like it's an old Italian villa.
I gotta go there.
Oh, Steve, you have to go there, and you have
Com
to go
Ave,
there
right?
as soon as possible. I don't even know the address off the top of my head. It's right in the Fens.
Yeah, I think it's Commonwealth Ave.
I got street parking right over by the MFA. It was like you could load up your parking meter for 4 or 5 hours. Also, the Isabel Stewart Gardner Cafe had phenomenal food. We all got incredible lunch there. Their little museum shop was super adorable and cute. I got this little book about Prince for my daughter. I don't know. I was
Did
just
you know that
submerged.
There's a Prince record coming out with unreleased material?
What?
I just heard that recently.
Well, hello. That's your new music right there. You told me you didn't have any new music that could correlate to
no,
Queen.
I didn't say, oh, I said, okay, we're going to talk about this because I did a little research and I wanted to see what other critics thought bands were influenced by Queen, and I found a story that had 19 of them in the story.
There you
so
go.
When you want to segue into
All right, well,
Queen,
we still need to talk about fashion trends for summer, and
why
then
do
we're
going
to talk about Freddie Mercury. So anyway, Isabel Stewart Gardner, get out there, people. It is so inspiring. I had this kind of out-of-body experience in there. I felt submerged in the world of art in a different capacity. She just has everything from like rugs and tables and chairs to like actual beautiful art. And then the piazza itself, the middle part of the villa is just magical. It really is. So I've been shopping a little bit, probably more than my wallet would like. I get on like these kicks where I set out to go window shopping, then I go in and I'm like, next thing I know, I have a pile armful of clothes. And so I walked over to H&M from my gallery one day a week ago, and it was just great to people watch, and I was listening to, like, I don't know, great music. I was listening to my buddy JJ Gray and Mofro, and I walked into H&M because the windows were just, like, yellow. It just, like, pulled me in. And within seconds, so this little crop top thing that I have on.
Yeah,
which
I do like that.
I never in a million years would wear a crop top, people. Never. But this thing got my eye, and it was $39.99, which is obscene money to spend at H&M because that's, like, probably the most expensive thing they have in there.
$39 is the most expensive thing?
Yeah, it's fast fashion, so it's super dirt cheap. Yep, yep. We should take you there because they have some great button-down, like, fun... Ah, there was a shirt there I should have got for you. I'll if I get back there, I'll buy you one.
You know, I think I might be back to medium again.
Good.
Now.
Yeah,
I
you
lost,
look
like
you're trim and
weight.
Slim, and look at Steve-O.
I know.
He's losing some weight. His face looks like...
Looking for the ladies, man. You know,
ladies. Hey, ladies. His eyes are popping out of that skin.
Either
he's
that
got
or I'm just
going to
start dating
green
men
eyes.
Because, you know... There's a lot of good-looking men out there, so.
Oh, you heard it here first, people. All right, so speaking of men and the men's department at H&M, it's really good, and so is the women's department. But I will tell you what I saw and my takeaway from being, shopping in a couple places, but mostly, and just doing a little bit of research. I think something that I'm seeing that's trending right now that I don't know if other people have caught on to yet, but the palazzo pants. So it's basically like... a dress with pant legs, and it's super hip, super cool. It's had its day and age. It definitely was a 70s thing.
Bring back the 70s,
yep,
I say.
Yep, exactly. And then long flowy dresses were a big thing at H&M. A lot of print and chiffon and georgette and that sort of thing, like we talked about before. But one of the big trends that I just researched recently that for summer. And the caftan, too. The caftan is a big thing that I'm seeing. I saw it all over the Cape. So many women in, like, long and short different caftans. Now, caftan is technically, like, it's like the cross between the muumuu that you'd wear at home, like the dress, the dress that you wear in your home, but it's also a beach thing. It's a beach cover-up. So it's see-through and sheer, and so you usually wear it with a bathing suit underneath it. There was lots of people at Chatham Bars Inn with the caftans. Steve's eyes are opening nice and wide because he's like, oh, yeah, I'd like to see that. Yes, 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 yes. But I'm seeing them in such great prints and different colors. I had to stop a couple women, like, walking through the restaurant because I was like, that is a fabulous caftan beach cover-up. Good for you.
I like how we have that in common where we'll just go up to anyone and start talking to them and we don't care.
Oh, my God, totally. And I've decided that when I think that I have a compliment in my head about somebody, I try desperately to say it out loud. Because you know what? When
it's
people give me a compliment, it means so much. It can change your whole day. If you see somebody and you think something great about them, tell them. Tell them. Why not? Like, that just, it's that pay it forward kind of thing.
You know what I notice women like when you tell them that you like their shoes?
You
women
are
love
always,
to hear
can
that.
We talk about my shoes, please?
Yeah, you got some boots mm-hmm. on today. They're hot.
I got some good shoes on right now. I have my green, they're like a chartreusey green cowboy boots. I've had these things for easily 15 years.
Really?
And easily.
Wow, they're holding up really well.
Yeah, well, I don't wear them every day, but, I keep my shoes. I told you, I rotate my shoes. But guess what's one of the summer trends? Boots. Boots, mini skirts, crop tops, boots with dresses. I was trying to find a dress that I could wear with my cowboy boots and, like, have just my bare legs, but I just don't have the right dress because I feel like it needs to, like, come in at the waist and be A-line. I saw this girl walking through the South End, and she had the best cowboy boots on with a little dress. It was like a shirt dress. It was so fab. Like, I wish I could have stopped her and been like, girl, you are best dressed on my book today. It was such a hot look. I'm all about this whole boots with a skirt or a dress thing. So today I have a high-waisted black skirt on with this little crop top that has, like, macrame kind of things.
You
got to
take
a
photo of us together after the show so we can post it.
Yeah,
Mike Nash is a great photographer. So
absolutely.
He can take it.
I mean, hey, I dressed to kill today.
Although his Van Halen shirt deserves to be a photograph as well.
It's like a very like 80s Van Halen shirt too. It's got some ebbing into like
it's the nice, it's the great logo. They've got a great logo.
They do have a great logo.
They had a great logo.
So those are my summer trends, people. Mini skirts with like mini skirts and dresses with boots, cowboy boots, regular boots, like ankle boots, and then the crop top. I mean, Jennifer Lopez has been seen all over, with Ben Affleck wearing these crop tops nonstop.
Wait, they're back together?
Bennifer is back together.
What?
They're calling it Bennifer 2.0.
Oh my God.
she ended the friggin' engagement to A-Rod and was like, within minutes, she was with Ben.
Those Boston guys get all the girls.
And he still smokes cigarettes. I noticed that in one of the pictures. I was kind of surprised by that. But so mini skirts, boots, crop tops, caftans, long flowy dresses, and palazzo pants. That's my take for summer of 21 trends.
Can't wait to see all that.
I bet you can't. All right. So today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about the one and only great Freddie Mercury and Queen. And man, is there anybody that really tops his stage performance and his vocals?
I would definitely say he's the greatest rock singer of all time. I'd put him at number one on my list. But people that know me know that Queen's my favorite band.
Right.
When I was in high school, all my friends were all into Kiss. Mm-hmm. It was the late 70s, except for me. I was in the Queen. Yeah. I saw Queen three times.
I know.
I actually have seen them five times, but three times with Freddie, once with Paul Rogers and Adam Lambert.
I saw that tour.
Queen in the 70s, the best concert I ever went to in my entire life was Queen with Thin Lizzy opening. It was absolutely the greatest concert I've ever seen. I don't think I'll ever be the same. I never was the same since then. But back then...
Why do you feel that way? Like, what was your takeaway from...
Both of those bands were just so great. They were just two of the greatest bands in rock history.
Lyrically,
put on
songs,
vocally. Live performance, Queen's the best live band I've ever seen. Thin Lizzy was right up there, too, and their singers... Dead also, Phil Lynott.
Remind me what Thin Lizzy sang.
Boys Are Back in Town,
oh, yeah.
Jailbreak.
Oh, yeah, right.
But, there you have a deep catalog. They have a deep catalog. They're an Irish band. Yes. And Belfast. And that concert was like 17-year-old Steve will never forget that. And it kind of influenced me for my entire life. But I got to tell you, when Queen got back together with Paul Rogers from Bad Company singing in 2005, I went to their first show.
Voice.
The first time they came here, they did a New York show and an LA show. The New York show was in New Jersey at Meadowlands. I went to that show. It's the
what
first time
this?
They played in America, 2005. Mm-hmm. And they ended up doing a full tour, but it didn't work out with Paul Rogers. He moved on. But my sister loves Adam Lambert. And 3 years
ago... Adam Lambert came out of American Idol. And you know what? He was a really incredibly talented guy.
I was very skeptical about going to see Queen
but
with Adam Lambert.
But he is the stage guy. Like, he can give a performance.
But I got to tell you, I went to Great Woods or whatever they call that place in Mansfield now.
Yeah,
and I saw Adam Lambert and Queen... And the guy blew me away.
Yeah, right?
It was like the closest thing to Freddie Mercury that you could possibly get.
He was.
I mean,
great
they
performer.
Picked the perfect guy.
He's got a beautiful voice. I was a big fan of American Idol for a little while there, and some great superstar people have come out of it.
It was Brian May and Roger Taylor. John Deacon is retired, the bass player. Who wrote some of the great songs like You Are My Best Friend, And he wrote all those great bass lines, So many songs. They all wrote. People think that Freddie wrote all the songs. He didn't.
No,
he wrote
no.
Bohemian Rhapsody, which is their most
brilliant.
Famous song. But Adam, I would go see Queen and Adam Lambert again.
I would like to be your date for that.
Yeah, because that would be worth it.
Are they doing it?
They're going to do it. They were supposed to go on a world tour last year and it got canceled.
Really?
Brian May's also been dealing with health issues. So hopefully hopefully they can do another tour. I met Brian May, actually. That's like one of the coolest people I ever met in my life. It was on the Queen Mary. They had a party for the Miracle album. Hollywood Records put it on, and I was living out in LA at the time, and I finagled my way into that party. And when I saw Brian May hanging out talking to some people, I'm thinking, this is my chance. And I just went right over there and stood there until he acknowledged that I was standing there, and he shook my hand and we talked.
Amazing.
I talked to him about the song 39, told him it was one of the greatest songs ever written. It's his song, and he's written a lot of their songs too, but he was really nice. He's a great guy. He's an animal guy too, and that makes me love him even more. He's done all this work for animal organizations, which I'm big causes for me. And so
can we just talk about the fact that Freddie Mercury was born in 1946, which is the same year my mother was born. So he would have been 74 turning 75.
He was
and
only 40.
He's a Virgo, by the way. He's a Virgo, which is the same as Tom Ford and myself. But they say that he is a British singer and songwriter, but yet he was born in Zanzibar.
He's Persian, actually.
Exactly. Like, how do you call him a British singer when he's from Zanzibar?
I don't know. Wikipedia's not always right.
Parsi Indian parents.
Frederick Bolzara is his real name. So he was born on an island, I believe, off the coast of Iran. That's where he grew up. And he had you saw the film. I mean, he had a really rough upbringing.
I don't think it's Iran, because Zanzibar is
Africa. It's Persian.
Isn't it?
Trust me, he's Persian.
Well, yeah, they say, no. Okay, keep going. I'm going to figure this out. He died in 1991.
I love these moments.
At 45.
Yeah, I cry. I never cry. Well, John Lennon's death got me too, but when Freddie Mercury passed away, it was like really a difficult thing to accept, because they kept it quiet that he had AIDS for a long time. The movie was inaccurate. He didn't come out and tell. They didn't know before Live Aid. They just made the movie seem that way. There were inaccuracies in that film. If you're a diehard Queen fan, you know that.
I just watched 10 greatest moments of Freddie Mercury and Queen. And
Live Aid was number one, obviously.
No, actually. Well, I didn't get to one number. I was watching it, and then I wanted to jump into looking up something else. But one of the things that really, a couple of things that really struck me was when they did the tribute to him at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, I've seen it a million times.
With the yellow jacket and the white, you know, and just like, wow. Like, that was just like, they streamed that in, you know? It was like, and the people are singing. I mean, wow, what a moment. And he's dead, you know? It's like, it's like he's still as powerful. I mean, this is why I wanted to talk about Queen and Freddie Mercury, because I was saying to Steve the other day that I listen to the radio a lot. Like, if my kiddo has my phone, I'm listening to the radio because I can't, you know, put in my Bluetooth for my Spotify account. And so I'm always listening to ZLX or ROR because I'm a classic rock chick. And, I mean,
you probably hear Queen every day.
Within an hour, there's going to be a Queen song every hour. You know, whether it's We Are the Champions or, you know, Under Pressure or, you know,
Somebody
Bohemian Rhapsody,
love.
Of course. Yeah, and so.
My best friend.
There's
a lot of top 10, top 20 songs Queen had.
So many.
Steve Walks Merrily Down the Street. That tune. I don't know why I can't think of the name. I think I know everything about Queen, and then I forget the names. The Game album is brilliant. All of their records: Queen 1, 2, Sheer Heart Attack, Night at the Opera, Day at the Races, News of the World. Every one of those records is a masterpiece. And you know what you said to me on the phone? Mm. You were like, I believe you brought this up. We Will Rock You. Mm. Is played at more sporting events than any song in the history of rock.
I did say that.
I mean, it's like one of those songs you're going to always hear. We Will Rock.
The royalties on that song must be just racking in the cha-ching, because everybody plays it all the time. I mean, we used to thump it on the bleachers at my high school we will rock you. I mean,
you always have to sing the songs. I like that about you.
But you know, I feel it in my core.
You know, every time someone wins a title, what do they play? We are the champions.
We are the champions. I can always just sing one little segment of something, right?
You know, it was great to me when songs like I'm in Love with My Car, which is Roger Taylor singing, became a TV commercial. Exactly, I was like, right? Wow. Like, none of that happened when Freddie was alive. They didn't have songs in movies or TV or any. Freddie was not into that whole commercialized crap. He was into partying, you know? I mean, he would spend a lot of time in Ibiza.
Oh,
he was a party maniac.
There we go. Back to Ibiza someday. I'm going to Ibiza in my heyday.
You've been to Ibiza?
No, I am going. I'm going.
I think I'm a little too old for Ibiza.
I've been to Ios in Greece, which holds, I would say, probably right after Ibiza is Ios. And I went with two of my girlfriends in college. And yep, I don't remember much. We had lots of ouzo there, but
you asked me about musical artists that were influenced by Queen.
Before we do that, can I just mention one thing?
Sure.
The song Barcelona.
Freddie Mercury solo.
So he sang with this opera singer.
Yeah, Luciano Pavarotti, was it?
No. It's a female. Carmen something.
Yes, idolized her.
Oh my God. I just heard it for the first time, everyone, this morning as I'm driving here. And
it blew you away.
I just truly was blown away by we know that he was in love with opera because he did so much opera influence.
Montserrat Caballé.
Yes. Yes.
I had to look that up. I got to tell you, as much as I love Freddie Mercury, his solo stuff didn't really blow me away.
Was this supposed to be a solo thing?
Yeah, it was a solo. He put two solo records out. He left Queen for a short period of time.
Barcelona, or did she write it? I thought.
I don't think he wrote the songs. I think he was just doing these classic opera.
Well, if you guys have never heard Barcelona with Freddie
Mercury.
That guy. And Montserrat Caballé. It is truly magical. It moved me to my core this morning. And I'm just, anyway. Get it on your playlist and check it out. It was really beautiful. I love opera. I will, like, my dream date is for somebody to show up with a dress and a beautiful necklace for me and then take me to the opera. That would be, like, that guy, he can put a ring on my finger.
Freddie put out another solo record, which he did write all the songs on, the record Mr. Bad Guy. And
he didn't even notice my comment. It's okay.
I'm sorry. What was the comment?
Don't worry. He was too busy in his thought. It's okay.
Can you please repeat it? Now
I said my dream date is if somebody were to show up with a dress and a necklace and take me to the opera.
You're sending me like a subliminal message here or something?
I'm just telling you that that's what a woman might want. Like, maybe you could do that for another woman in your life. I don't know.
What did she refer to the other guy as? The silver gray prince or what?
My silver fox.
Silver fox who shows up with a gown and takes you to the opera. Wow, that's a lot of
information. And I just said he could put a ring on my finger if he does that.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I answer the question that you texted
yes.
me about? You asked me if there were any musical artists that wouldn't exist without Queen.
I gave him some homework.
A website called ontheside.com, and they had an article called 19 musical artists that wouldn't exist without Queen. Uh-huh. I only picked 5 of them out because they made sense to me. Lady Gaga, everyone kind of knows that because she got her name from the song Radio Gaga. Panic at the Disco. I mean, they're totally like, if you've watched them, you like, you know, there's a Queen there. The Darkness, when they came out, very Queen. The Killers, their singer is like totally Freddie Mercury. And Adam Lambert was on the list, who's the second coming of Freddie Mercury.
I only knew 2 or 3 of those out of the 5.
They all are heavily influenced by Queen. Mm. I pulled those out of a long list of bands because some of them I didn't understand why they were on that list. But.
So is the is the Queen, the movie, a good representation of how the band got started, like how and the
yeah in,
issues that they had with,
they
like,
twisted some of the chronological order of things around, but I thought Rami Malek,
he
was brilliant, and I thought story about the band came together, and Freddie's connection to Mary Austin, you know,
yeah,
they were
so
very
you guys,
well connected,
he was,
best
you know,
friends.
Dating a woman when he realized he really was
she made him
gay.
Realize that he was gay.
And, you know, I think I know what I was going to say earlier is that The Great Pretender, that song, that's
yeah,
another
that
one
was
that
on
really
one of his solo records
hit hard for me. But like they called him the Great Pretender in the end because he never opened up to the fact that he had AIDS and that, you know, ultimately he struggled with the fact that he was gay in
He's
some
a lonely
ways.
Guy.
Yeah, like and he said that Mary was his only true friend.
True love. He left her like everything.
Everything.
Yep.
Everything. They never even got married. But
nope.
He said basically, if we had gotten married, if I was ever going to get married, it would have been to you, and we would have had children, and it would have been
love
yours
of
anyway.
My life. The song "Love of My Life" supposedly wrote about her.
This is what you know. It pains me when people can't be their true selves. They live in this alter world, and I feel like
it wasn't easy coming out when you were a big rock star in 1980s.
I mean, look how many great stars struggled with that. I mean, George Michael. You know, Freddie Mercury, I mean,
well, David
Bowie
and Lou
probably
Reed were like, you know, bisexual. I mean, it's like there were a lot of men back then that were rock stars.
Even what was the pretty boy? Ricky Martin. I mean, he talks about what a horrible experience in life that was for him to like have to hide it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
sad.
I remember I loved George Michael. I was in love with George Michael. He was so beautiful to me. And I mean, again, like it was like Michael Jackson, George Michael were on my walls, you know, in the 80s. And I mean, and then to find out, you know, we got the breaking news because he's in a bath, you know, bathhouse. And, you know,
think
didn't about
the undercover
how
intense
cop, that is. Yeah.
Didn't he have an encounter with an undercover cop in a public restroom? That's sad.
He solicited a undercover cop and they busted him up and probably ruined, you know, a good section of his life with, you know, he had this persona. Just he was the great pretender as well, you know.
You mentioned the Freddie Mercury tribute concert earlier when he did Somebody to Love at that concert. That was one of the highlights of the. I always thought that George Michael was going to be the guy that would end up in Queen. I did
that
think that.
That would have been a great fit.
But Adam Lambert, though, is fine, far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, not to segue into, you know, but you remember, like, I think we all know where we were and when it was when somebody that touches our heart dies. And I know you know that about Freddie Mercury, but for me, it was George Michael and it was Gianni Versace and it was Prince. And I'll never forget those moments in my life. And to find out that George Michael died in his bed with his partner on Christmas, you know, you know, that Prince dies alone in an elevator, you know, on April, I don't know what it was, 16th or 17th or 18th, you know, and then Gianni Versace getting murdered in front of his home, like in Miami. I mean, again, these are all moments I remember because these were icons to me, right? And I'm sure you have that with David Bowie. And,
Lennon, Mercury,
right, of course.
Bowie, Tom Petty even. Prince.
Oh, totally. Tom Petty. Yeah. I will never forget that either.
And, you know, I mean, I also remember like the Kennedys and Martin Luther King. I was young. I was a little baby, but I remember those. It's things that you'll never forget.
It's,
you know,
seared into
in
our
life.
Minds. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, do you have anything more you want to say about Freddie? Because I want to close out on an affirmation.
Well, I think, you know, Freddie Mercury's he's the greatest rock singer of all time, and I was really happy they made that film because I feel like a lot more people learned about Queen from that film.
I can tell you I didn't always like love Queen. I didn't have a great deep respect for Queen until I saw the movie.
Yeah, the film helped.
It changed everything for me.
What Wayne's World couldn't do, Bohemian Rhapsody did for Queen.
Yes, exactly. Or you mean, you? Yeah, totally. Well, I love our topics today. I think that that was a great day on air. And I know we've probably gone over a little bit on our
time.
We
went way over today.
Not,
who cares?
Not so much. Not so much. I think we had some good stuff to talk about. It's been a while, you know? But I'd like to, do we want to, you know, promote our little world here?
Yeah, well, if you want to write to us, seemstomecssr@gmail.com. And we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/seemstome. And you can also find us on Twitter.
And Steve is the great podcast host of his show,
Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. Thank you for plugging my show for
me.
You got mentioned on my show I did this weekend, by the way. I can't remember why, but I said Cibolline Siriano would love that. And I can't remember why I said that, but I did.
Well, thank you.
Something came up on the show. Oh, I had a roadie on my show that went on was a roadie for The Cure and Depeche Mode, and he told us that the guys in Depeche Mode, each member had their own stylist.
Oh.
And he said that, and I said, Cibolline Siriano would love that.
Oh, man. That's awesome, for sure. They rightfully so. They were all very
stylish.
Edgy and gothy and, you know, rock and roll, black, you know, eyeliner shit. So, and then I'm going to plug Cibolline the Art Gallery as well. You can find us on Instagram at Cibolline the Art Gallery, Cibeline, or Cib the Art Gal, hashtag Cib the Art Gal, CibolineTheArtGallery.com. We are, for summer hours, we are now going to be open just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday 12 to 6, Saturday 12 to 5, Sunday 12 to 4. We're at 460 C Harrison Avenue in the South End. And there's parking right there in the building, right in front of the building. And if you want to come see the gallery on the other days, you can give me a buzz or send an email to info@CibolineTheArtGallery and make an appointment. So we can do by appointment only Monday through Thursday. And I'm going to leave us on a beautiful quote that I just read the other day from Brené Brown. She's just amazing. Anyway, I think midlife is when the universe gently places her hands upon your shoulders, pulls you close, and whispers in your ear, I'm not screwing around. It's time. All this pretending and performing, these coping mechanisms that you've developed to protect yourself from feeling inadequate and getting hurt, has to go. Your armor is preventing you from growing into your gifts. I understand that you needed these protections when you were small. I understand that you believed your armor could help you secure all of the things you needed to feel worthy of love and belonging. But you're still searching, and you're more lost than ever. Time is growing short. There are unexplored adventures ahead of you. You can't live the rest of your life worried about what other people think. You were born worthy of love and belonging. Courage and daring are coursing through you. You were made to live and love with your whole heart. It's time to show up and be seen. Brené Brown.
Very nice.
Peace out, people.
See ya.
So let the good times roll, feel it in your soul. Take another round and let the good times roll.
Voices recorded at Voice Motel, voicemotel.com. Your complete podcast recording experience. Located in Union Square, Somerville, Massachusetts.